When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hi, everyone. So we're back and back early this week, considering the upcoming onslaught of FPL to come. Also, we're here in the afternoon, just because it's nap time for my daughter, and Lucy likes an early podcast, and she's one drinking beer this time, and so she's the one who's going to get steadily less coherent as the pod goes on, whereas I'm here drinking non-alcoholic IPA from Beavertown. Yeah, so I've gone full dad now. Don't know what's become of me. Anyway, so game week 33 is just around the corner. It's midweek, and game week 34 is the double as well. So wall-to-wall football over the next two calendar weeks and three game weeks. So it might be well to about with you properly due to, you know, life. There's a lot going on. Anyway, back with me following saying moderately or fairly successful free hit compared to some out there, I suppose. Yeah, some people have had massive scores this week. It's Lucy. You're all right?
I'm all right. It's not been a great free hit, it has to be said. I'm sure we'll touch on that in a bit. But hey, at least I'm not a Spurs fan, so can't be too bad. We are Who Got The Assist. You can find Tom on the main account at WGTA_FPL, and you can find me at Lucy Hynett with two T's. On the pod today, we'll have a chip review now that they're all used up. How did it go? And are we stuck on a dull march to safety given how many went with the mainstream strategy to free hit this week? And then we'll take a look at double game week 34. How are we going to manage it, especially for those like me who don't have Salah and Trent already in situ? We're recording on the afternoon of Sunday, the 23rd of April. Game week 32 has just finished and game week 33 is just 2 days away.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we go. It's lots of football. I think it needs to stop, Lucy. This all needs to come to an end. It's getting too much. Calm down, football.
Stop the count, right?
Exactly. It's getting ridiculous. Anyway, shall we quickly cover off that free hit then? I suppose it kind of links into what we'll talk about this week just for the first bit. But how did you get on before we go into my tale of mostly woe, but kind of expected woe, as it were? How did you do?
I'm on a very small green arrow from 28k to 25k with 68 points, which is three ahead of the score that I needed to stay still. So I didn't really get the boost I'd hoped for out of the free hit. None of my kind of big differentials paid off. And obviously Hakpo's 59th minute sub was particularly frustrating.
Yeah.
It was the kind of the strikers that I really dwelled on as it kind of marched towards deadline. I settled on the 90-minute talisman strikers, so Tony, Watkins and Solanke, and obviously only Tony returned, so I had to watch those kind of riskier picks like Jota and Isak Hall. So perhaps didn't get the balance right there, but it wasn't a disaster. And yeah, we just have to kind of move on to the next week.
Well, I mean, I'd have taken that, to be honest. But I mean, it wasn't as bad as some of the people I've seen. So FPL Stats Dan got in touch with us just a minute ago saying, how do I delete my account? Took a -8 this week. And whew, it's not good, is it, at all? Some people, especially those of us without the free hit, that's for sure. So 33 points you got this week, and minus a 216% red arrow. Absolute carnage there. I know my friend FPL Jack as well in a similar boat after, I guess it's -8 to course correct for the future. But had to eat a rather large red arrow this week. I had to as well. I was saying to you just before we started, I was actually quite happy that I not doubled my rank, but it was pretty bad, down from 6K to just under 12K, so 11,793, something like that. Yeah, not really fantastic. I think the Villa goal kind of in the 87th minute, that was a bit of a sickener, because I had obviously Raya and Henry, didn't expect that clean sheet to go in, but I wanted to come in, but I wanted obviously that to be gone, so I didn't have the hope, you know. I think I literally just went to the loo, came back and saw that they'd scored us, off sake. And then Elsewhere, obviously the double Newcastle defence didn't work out either. Obviously, Kane would score. Sold him this week for Solanke, who didn't do anything. And I also bought Trent this week, who did do something, got an assist, and I think he got an assist and one bonus. The captain sounded like everyone else. Saka also returning for me, and it was literally just having that Andreas goal and him somehow fluking the free bonus. I think he was on nothing until Leeds scored their consolation. He jumped up from out of nowhere to free bonus after being on the winning goal. So 10 points for him, like, bought in last week specifically to get Salah in and specifically for this game week, kind of saved my blushes a little bit, mitigated against the disasters we've seen elsewhere. And 51 points net, 55 minus 4. Obviously not great in a sea of people getting 70s, 80s, etc., so on. But yeah, that's kind of what I'd expected, really. And we'll talk about that in just a bit in terms of chip strategy. I guess chip strategy in seasons going forward, because it does really feel like everyone was on free hit this week, but especially those in the engaged core. Right, market forces very quickly. I'm sure this will kind of accelerate a bit further over the next kind of couple of weeks. But we're seeing quite a lot of people now making changes to make their team more kind of 34 ready. So you're seeing the likes of Kane sold by 100,000 already. Tony sold by almost 60,000 managers, and Saka sold by 45,000 managers to be replaced by players who have got double game week. Haaland, 120,000 managers, buying him in. So some people may have sold to kind of accommodate this week. I was thinking of doing that, but I ended up selling Kane anyway. Rashford's now fit again, 75,000 managers, buying him in. Diogo Jota, kind of the unexpected star of the free hit for many people after his brace, 70,000 managers, and Grealish, 50K, and Trent, 43K. So unsurprising in terms of the people who are being brought in. Just to mention them in the league, very, very quickly, quite a few really good performances out there. You know what? Only one manager out of the top 30 didn't have their free hit active this week. Wow. Everybody else did. You had to cycle down a long old way to find somebody other than Arav Menderata, who's now down to fifth, who didn't have their free hit active. Everybody else did. Absolutely incredible stuff, really. Up top, but still the semi-enders, Mark Bleakley, 75 this week on free hit. Second, Bolas, Pasardi, 77 points for him. In third, Josiah Veridesdian, 67. In fourth, up from seventh, Alex Terry, 74. Araf, as I mentioned, is down from second to fifth. Only got 46 this week without his free hit going. In sixth, it's the Hanyus, Christopher Blakeman, 79 points. Jointive, actually, that is, with Jan Vakonja, 70 points for him too. In eighth, down from sixth, it's Nat Chapman, only got 66 this week. I say only, but hey, no other kill for a score like that this week, Nat. In ninth, it's at 11-5, Be Kind to Me with a 68. And in joint 10th, it's Andy Viswa Nathan and Zishan Bimani, 80 and 65 respectively. But yeah, absolutely ridiculous that so many people are on free hit this week. And I think that's kind of where we're going to start, really, just thinking about our chips as it is, because I saw that official FPL said that 426K managers were on their free hit this week. And that made me think, because there must be, I don't know, about what, between 1 to 2 million accounts now active, I'd say, or teams now active. I mean, you're looking at kind of maybe half, maybe a third, at worst like a quarter of people all on free hits at the moment. So it just kind of shows, I guess, how a dull march strategy to just do the same thing is really kind of ruling the roost now. Chips, Lucy, this season, just to kind of go into the wash up proper, I mean, how did they go for you this year? You kind of followed the main path, didn't you, really?
Yes, I went for the orthodox strategy. I think that's been much more powerful than we've seen in previous seasons in terms of like the sheer number of people going for it. I was really surprised this week to look around and to see quite so many free hits in play, particularly in kind of, you know, fairly kind of casual leagues where perhaps people aren't kind of thinking as analytically, but might be kind of engaged in content creation, all that kind of thing. That was quite surprising to me. And I think actually on the whole, it's been quite good for me. So I played the triple captaincy in game week 22 on Rashford, which I think was very popular. That was part of a week that took me from 211k to 68k in one jump. That was a 25k game week rank, so that was a pretty big success. And then I took the wild card, followed by the game week 29 bench boost, which took me from 49k to 25k. So again, so I basically, through the process of the triple captaincy, the wild card and the bench boost, went from 211k to 25k. So I'd say it served me pretty well. Obviously, this week, as we just recapped, wasn't particularly good on the free hit, but it did help. You know, I think it's probably one of those things where we won't be able to tell until game week 34 washes up as to whether that was also the right play, because people that played the free hit this week were thinking that they could hold on to blankers and set themselves better up for 34. So I think to a certain extent, we probably can't assess that yet. But yeah, I'd say in general, playing the mainstream strategy has suited me well. And I think I've mentioned before that because I play such a conservative game and generally are fairly risk averse, that the right chip execution is probably pretty essential for me getting boosts when the season isn't going to plan. So I don't think in the first 20 game weeks of the season I played that well, and I probably lent on the chips more than I'd like to. I didn't pull that off last year, and I think that was probably why I had such a bad finish. And I think we're going to see that become a bit of a trend. You know, the more that the herd moves in the same way, the more your chips are probably going to give you that accelerant. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with the mainstream strategy. How are you feeling about yours?
So I did Haaland in game week 20, I think it was, when he got one goal. I got a red arrow on the triple captain. So that was like, you know, eight points, I think. So 8, 6 and 24. Rashford got 20, didn't he? So 24, 60. Yeah. So basically about 12 points down on that. I free-hitted in 25, of course, and got the red arrow there. So I captained Salah over Saka. Basically got screwed by that one, because straight away the fixtures fell out, and there was the freak FA Cup results, which meant that we wildcarded straight away. So unwittingly, I could have just done some dead end moves and been fine. But at the time, it looked like I could have had a huge advantage by free hitting them. So red arrows for both my free hits and my triple captain, bench boost when everyone else did, and got a big green. So you know, it just goes to show what you said, that you know, the sheer number of people just following that kind of mainstream strategy does seem to kind of mean that, especially if things don't go your way, you don't get that fair wind if you go slightly differently, that you can be hugely punished. Like, I'm still just outside of the top 10K. So it's kind of like I'm doing okay in spite of my chips rather than because of them for the most part. And it's just a case of what might have been, really. If I didn't free hit in 25 and triple caps in 20, and have just followed the mainstream strategy, then I'd be absolutely laughing right now. I mean, am I happy with the outcome of how I've done things? No. Now, am I happy with the decisions I made? Yeah, because I stand by them. You would say that. Of course you would, Tom. Yes, of course. But it made sense at the time. And if those had come off, then no, I'd have had a big kind of plus over what everyone else did. And it does show kind of how tough it is to differentiate now a little bit, as you've mentioned. We've spoken about how captaincy and kind of player selection has perhaps become something which has reached a certain critical mass over the last couple of weeks. And I wonder if chip strategy actually is kind of the main sort of frontier for how FPL has become sort of this moving herd monolith that's quite hard to get outside of. Because the critical mass behind the free hit this week astounded me. It really did. I was really surprised how many people were on it. And it just kind of makes me wonder whether kind of this is just something that any season going forward, you're going to just need to follow what everyone else does. Because if you do get it wrong, or it doesn't go as well as the main strategy does, as it has this year, you could be quite seriously punished, as a couple of the guys I mentioned have been, and as I have been a little bit. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you're probably quite right. I think in your case, I think what we probably can't evaluate very easily is, as a result of going off a different chip strategy, did that give you kind of better moves and more advantages in kind of interim weeks? You know, for example, when you took that hit for Salah last week, which a lot of free hitters wouldn't have felt the impulse to do because they felt they could be on Salah this week and perhaps prepare for 34. You know, did that, you know, does that kind of help to compensate where you didn't get the advantage? And I think that could have happened throughout the season in terms of a different chip strategy opens up different opportunities, and do those opportunities pay off better? And I think that's probably quite a difficult one to work out without being kind of like super granular in terms of these were all of the different paths I could have taken and this is the one I took. In terms of, you know, what the mainstream strategy does to people's strategy going forward, in terms of whether you pick the mainstream way, I think it's just one of those things that we've spoken about all season, in the sense that the herd now is just opening up your risk in such an extreme way that if you want to go against it, you're going to have to be pretty brave in a way you probably didn't have to be before. You know, there were obviously disadvantages, advantages to how you took your chip strategy, but it didn't feel so kind of huge when it went wrong. Like, there's not like this week where basically an average free hit has allowed you to stay still, not to do really well out of it. And I think that's quite unusual. So I think it's just one of those things where if you want to go against the herd now, in every respect, you know, whether that's captaincy or whether that's chip strategy, you are going to have to be pretty confident and pretty open to the risk that involves. And I think that's where, for people like me who are risk averse, the game is becoming pretty boring, because I'm not really open in the majority of cases, unless there's a convincing case that it's particularly well suited to my team. I'm not really open to taking big chances against the mainstream strategy. And in which case, are we all just following this kind of boring, formulaic approach to FPL, which is it worth playing? I don't know.
It's definitely becoming that way. I mean, yeah, no alcohol, so I'm completely cynical. I mean, how many have you had? You just started your first one. So at the moment,
yeah, this is my first one. Yeah.
Life still feels like a dark and horrible place, like it does most of the time. Yeah. But no, I it definitely feels like a bit of a slow march of blandness at the moment. And like, this has been my best season since we started WGTA, but I've just not. So it's almost like the enjoyment hasn't really been there, because, okay, the start was good because we gambled on the most boring of things, which was a double city defence. And then since then, it's been very much kind of limited to a few moments. I mean, you did say a minute ago, yes, it's difficult for me to say, yes, the chip strategy fell because I got red arrows on these particular weeks. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the moments of joy were those moments where I was able to do other moves because of me doing something slightly different. So, you know, buying, yes, Matoma and Estupinian earlier.
He mentioned it again.
I know, but because I didn't have the 25, because I didn't have the 25 to worry about. So I could buy both of those players. I mentioned we just ignored them. So I got loads of points out of that. And as you said, buying Salah last week and buying Trent this week, maybe that will lead to onward sort of downstream benefits, because we'll speak about this in just a bit. There'll be a bit of a mad scrabble now to try to fit these players into your teams. I've already got them. So hopefully there's going to be an element of advantage out of that. But yes, you're right. It does feel huge when it goes wrong. And it's not been as terrible for me. Obviously, getting a red arrow on my free hit, I mean, any time you get a red arrow on your free hit, that's really annoying. I mean, when your triple captains go off, that's really annoying. And there are kind of things around it which counter for it. But it again, feeds into what we were talking about the pod before, where it's kind of like this, it kind of all comes together, that you've got this accessibility to information we mentioned before about chip strategy, what to do. Like, planning was previously quite complex because you had to work out for yourself, and it was something that was kind of not particularly kind of worked through a lot of the time. Resources were limited, so you didn't have what you've got now. Whereas now, people will just say, here's my chip strategy, here's what I'm going to do. And you've got this sort of rise of a do-it-for-me manager that we mentioned, who are all following suit, all pretty much have the same teams. We've all got the template's been stronger than ever this year. And all it takes is a few voices to say, here's the best route, and everyone will follow it. And getting away from that it just feels like, as you say, it just leaves you massively exposed to everything if you don't follow it. And I don't know, it definitely kind of feels like the pockets of joy in the game have diminished further and further. Because yes, it's fun to get points, but if you're getting points that everyone else is getting all the time forever, then where's the interest for me a little bit? Like, the only edges seem to lay in picking up key differentials before they hit that crest of the wave now. That seems to be it.
Getting a random bit of jam, you know, like the Castagna owners this week.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of joyous celebration, and, you know, well done to those people. But did you really own Castagna for a goal? You didn't, like, yeah. But it came good.
Yeah,
and I think it feels like you're either getting extreme moments of luck which I don't feel even when I get them are that satisfying, because you're like, well, that isn't really what I was expecting or why I bought that player. Yeah, or you're getting exactly what you said, which is where you just get those little differentials that for some reason fire, or you get ahead of the template slightly. And that's just not a very satisfying way of playing the game, is it?
No, it was always nice when you planned out what you were going to do and, you know, you kind of had done your own work a little bit. And I don't know, it kind of links back to kind of what FPL content is now a little bit. Like, the FPL content's the main output from this game, which is a very simple game. And the FPL content sphere is now, for the most part, just an incredibly safe, sort of sterile environment. And where you just do, everyone says the same thing because you don't want to be kind of caught out saying something different. And I think the game in general, because it hasn't changed for so long, it's in a real sense of decay at the moment. Like, it's grown so stale that if they don't do any changes this summer, like, I probably would be thinking about either not playing or just kind of sitting straight back into full casual mode, because it really is in need of revitalizing and change. Like, all of the interest from 5-6 years ago when I started this, that was all about kind of trying to find new nooks and crannies of edge within the game. And now we're kind of, with the rise of analytics, the rise of kind of how content's become mainstream, all those edges have gone. Everyone has all the information, everyone has all the same information, and everyone does the same thing to a large extent. And I don't know, like, if it is just the same game next year, like, more of the same, please. It's just going to be quite difficult to sustain interests if you're kind of looking for something beyond just pick this player, he's got a few good fixtures and his stats are good.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, and I think for me, kind of FPL has always been like the sub interest of my general interest in football and the Premier League, and given that Southampton are very likely to go down, I don't see me watching as much Premier League football as I do now. And so that's another reason where I'm like, do I really need to play FPL? Like, I could just spend my interest on the Championship, which is actually probably a more interesting league anyway. So, I don't know if I'm actually that bothered about it next season, which seems a bad thing for an FPL pod to be saying. But there we are.
Yeah, I mean, the FPL is actually my main interest for watching football. Like, I think Arsenal is kind of a team I follow, support, but it's kind of a separate thing. And so my FPL head's always before the Arsenal one. So when Martinelli scored, for example, I wasn't thinking, yeah, we've scored. I was thinking more, for God's sake. So, I know, it's a very sort of, it's almost like an existential crisis now. I've reached the point of extra responsibility where I'm thinking, do I really need this anymore? It's just one to see, really, but just the state of the game and the state of content, the state of kind of everything around it. It just feels like it's diminishing a little bit for me. Right, okay. On that jolly note, let's move forward to considering what we're going to be doing for 34 and beyond. So, next few weeks, because there's such a quick turnaround between game weeks, and because I've now got a young baby, and we won't be doing kind of full on pods in between the weeks. I'll probably kind of come on and do a FPL general style monologue, probably next Thursday, and probably kind of the Thursday after, something like that, after each has kind of happened. We won't be back for a little bit, so thought best just kind of seal off 34 and beyond. Look at kind of what we're going to be doing on paper, at least for the next few, and kind of talk about some of the key salient points which are coming out of those. Just dealing with 33, I mean, it definitely feels like Roll City for a lot of people. Is it the case for you? Like, my team's pretty solid, and obviously I've got Salah and Trent in place. But for someone like you, coming off the free hit, one free transfer, is it the case you're going to start making manoeuvres now to try to fit in Salah, try to fit in Trent, and just kind of fit yourself up for 34?
I'm in a very awkward spot for 34. Despite having the free hit this week, I don't feel like I'm very well set. As you said, the primary problem is that I don't have Trent or Salah, and I'm a bit torn as to how quickly I accelerate moves for those two, particularly now that I've got a pending Nathan Ake injury, which is making things a little bit difficult, particularly as there doesn't seem to be any kind of concrete news yet as to whether that's a bad injury or not. He's been ruled out of midweek, I think, but he hasn't been ruled out beyond that. So I'm a little bit in a sticky spot there. because if Ake is fit, my routes to Trent are even more diminished because I'm looking at basically 4.5 defenders going up to Trent, which is not ideal. So at the moment, I'm trying to tell myself that rolling makes a lot of sense because I basically need more information in basically every regard. To buy Salah, I need to do effectively what you did, which was to downgrade Kane. I would need to upgrade Saka because all of my other midfielders will double. And I need to basically work out what that process involves. So if I want to get Salah and Trent and Ake is fit, then I probably have to take Kane down to a bench player that doesn't ever play and play Watkins and Haaland all the time.
Greenwood at Leeds, 4.0 striker.
Yeah, that's the kind of route I'd have to go down. If Ake isn't fit, I've got the option that I may upgrade him, and it would therefore mean that opens up the kind of sort of 6.x strikers. So your Martials, your Isaacs, that kind of thing. I think it opens up Isaac. Let me check that. It definitely opens up Solanke, for example. And if I don't want to go for Trent, then I can. Then I've got a bit more kind of room for what I want to do. And then there's also the option that I really don't see me doing this, but I can see people in my position doing this, is that you just ignore Salah and you go for someone like Jota in Kane's position and you use your money to upgrade to Trent. I don't think I'll do that, but I can see that if you were chasing, then maybe we've got to the point where Jota and Trent is the route you go down and hope that you can cover him off. I don't think I'll do that. So I'm in an awkward situation, mainly because of that Ake news, is that I probably need more information. So before this week, I was thinking I might take a hit for Salah and get it done. But without this Ake news, I probably can't move because I just don't know how much I need to downgrade Kane with, you know, a view to Trent. Yeah, I mean, the other option is I just don't bother with Trent, but I feel like Trent's got a huge ceiling now that he's moved into this adapted sort of tucked in role. His chance creation seems to be really good at the moment. So I think I want him at the moment. Obviously, things must be much more straightforward in your world right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I took the back-to-back hits and ate a couple of bad weeks to get them in, because it just gave me an easy life going forward. I mean, I still don't have, admittedly, any United players, and you've still got Shaw and Rashford. And Bruno.
Rashford and Bruno.
Okay, so you've still got those two, and I don't have any United. I'm probably only going to get maybe one, maybe two. Basically, what I did when my partner was in labour, when she was kind of high on drugs, is I planned all my transfers until game week 38 using FPL Review and FPL Team. That's the kind of guy I am, and I think I've kind of got it all sorted. And this was sort of part of the plan to get there. And yeah, I mean, I'm not looking at, I know those people have been saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to get to game week 34 and have all the doublers in the world. I'm probably not going to have that. I'll probably have, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then have Trippier and maybe Botman at home at Southampton. I'm probably going to keep Saka for the rest of the season now. Just keep him as a differential. I think that, you know, he's an unambiguously brilliant asset, and transfers are at a premium for me. And then kind of maybe just keep Solanke and play Mahomes to Leeds. I mean, it's going to have to be one of those where it's been kind of whittled down. But it is quite easy in a lot of respects, because Rashford can come in for Andreas for me, because I've got loads of money still sat in the bank. And that kind of midfield of Matoma, McAllister, Saka, Salah and Rashford, I think that can kind of stay there for the rest of the season now. Like, it's kind of a good mix of positive and negative. I've got Haaland in place alongside Salah and Trent. So really, my questions are now, would I want to sell Saka for Grealish? I'm not sure. And where do I cover United, City and also Brighton going forward? And I think that's in defence. It gets so exciting, Lucy. I think it's in defence. So, you know, I've got two or three remaining slots in my team, which are those defensive slots, one defender and one goalkeeper. And there's big question marks over all the teams defensively. So United, Maguire, Lindelof. City just don't seem to give a crap, and when they're 3-0 up and just concede stupid goals. And Brighton don't have the best defensive units still. XGC since restart would suggest that City's the defence to back. I mean, they're the best defence. Brighton the third best, I think I saw earlier, and United were kind of fifth or sixth or something like that. So it's just kind of making a choice between the guys like Edison, De Gea, maybe, I'm not sure on Steel, but maybe one of those two. And then a defender between Shaw, Diaz and Estu or Dunk. I mean, it's fairly straightforward going forward, but I've got the benefit of having Salah and Trent in play. And I think that that's kind of the thing that most people are grappling with. And that's what you've kind of spoken to, because most sort of orthodox or most people are going to be saying, yeah, we need to get these guys in. The volume of home games actually to come for Liverpool as well is quite staggering. Three home games in a row, 34 and 35. And at Anfield recently, they've been pretty damn good. Spurs first game at home in game week 34 as well, given what we've seen today, is something that most people aren't going to want to miss out on. And I don't know, I feel like for you, missing out on Salah, that just feels like a very un-Lucy thing to do. Like, I can see why you're kind of wondering about it, but I mean, someone like Ake, if you're waiting on his fitness to make a decision, it doesn't, it just feels like just rip the band-aid off and get Salah in would be what I'd be thinking right now. Although,
what do you mean for 33?
Yeah, or just because you're going to have to make more moves than 34 probably to optimize, right? So, yeah, or at least to get trends in. So it, to me, it just feels like, yeah, just get it done, because then you get an extra transfer, but you open yourself up to even more problems.
Like, yeah, this is the problem. I'm really torn because, you know, I said to you ahead of this week, when Salah had gone off, oh, I probably need to get Salah. I feel very exposed. And it's really annoying, the Ake information, because Ake doesn't feel significant enough as a player for me to kind of define my moves by him. But I'm kind of very aware that what I do with Kane, and I have just double checked this while you were speaking, I can only do Kane to Solanke and still afford Ake to Trent. So I can't really do a lot with the spot. So I'm just really torn as to
that's the exact move I made this week, for what it's worth.
Yeah, it would definitely have to be Ake out if I wanted Trent at that point. And if I find that he's fit, then I'm turning down a Man City double game week. And we've said that they're probably the preferred defense,
maybe.
So I'm really torn.
You mentioned Trent's ceiling being so ridiculously high, though, and then
that is true.
Whereas Ake, as we've seen, might not play both those games. So you're 6 points for Ake versus Trent definitely playing this sort of Joshua Kimmich sort of role, isn't he, really?
Yeah, definitely.
And I just kind of look at that and think, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. Hey, I mean, you're getting close to me now, so I welcome you not owning Trent, to be honest. I mean, that would be I harshly endorse you not owning Trent.
Yeah, no, I did look at for those that like, you know, enjoy using models, I did look at FPL review, and actually they're suggesting that I don't bother with Trent. It would be like, this is where you're like, FPL review, you sure about that? They're suggesting Kane to Martial, and I'm not sure I'm keen on that one.
No.
Given that he can't stay fit. So but yeah, the principle being Kane downgraded and to someone that's playable, and Saka up Salah. I mean, Isak's probably the one that I'd do if I didn't bother with Trent, just because I think that double's coming. He looks like he's starting most games, even if he's not playing the full 90, and he looks in good form too. So I think I am very worried about that Salah exposure, and I think I've probably come to the conclusion, I know Hindu Monkey asked about whether we should have Salah and Trent and what that kind of situation should be. I don't want to kind of oversimplify FPL too much, but I think if you're in a position where you're holding rank or fairly pleased with where you are and have fairly minor gains to be made, then you probably need to cover off Salah. And I think if I was chasing, I think Trent is probably the player I'd be prioritising, because I think he's going to be lower owned than Salah. And I think he has a higher ceiling. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I just feel if they can get a clean sheet in that double game week and he can collect an assist or two, that might be better than what Salah gets, or it might just equal what Salah gets. So I think I'd be in that position if I was kind of evaluating which one I want. I think ideally you have both, and you sit there pretty like Tom is right now, thinking about what other moves you can make.
Indeed. Solly, I'm just watching I've got the other game on, and Solly marches down in pain.
Well, that would just ruin all of my plans, so I'd just have to tear up the entire thing. In fact, we should probably re-record the pod.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be an additional spanner. So if can you do March to Salah? Is that... Oh dear. Yes. It's definitely a case of looking at it. So for clarity, Hindu Monkey asked, I'd tell him to go away because he did force me to buy Solanke, and I'm not.
I had no choice in it. That was also his fault for mine as well.
If you could only have one of Trent or Salah for the next two game weeks, which one? Is Salah's not, I think it will be Haaland captain 34, and won't it? And I think Haaland's going to be captain all the way. So I think you probably could swing for Trent, actually. If you do have a team value issue, as you've kind of inferred, then hey, definitely. And try to get around it, as you mentioned, with a Jota. Maybe not a Hakpo, but definitely Jota.
and just try
to go that way. Because you're not captaining him, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If Salah was the big captaincy choice, I don't think you'd have any choice but to go with him. But because Haaland will take it, and quite comfortably, I think that's if you're chasing, you could gamble against Salah and go down the Jota route.
Yeah, I think it's only game week 38, looking at the fixtures, when Salah has got Southampton away versus Haaland being away at Brentford. That's probably the only week where there's going to be a legitimate question over Salah versus Haaland. The rest of it, it's a straightforward Haaland captaincy over Salah every single time. So if you're not captaining Salah, it's the age-old sort of adage, isn't it? If I'm not going to captain him, why should I bother owning him, mate? And you could definitely kind of say that for that. Massively exposed, as we've mentioned. Right, other teams then. United, you've got Bruno and you've got Rashford sitting around. Looking to add Mr. Shaw back in, or De Gea or something? And do you think you need two or three of them, especially given the diminished defensive capabilities now?
Yeah, that's my worry with Man United. I was very keen on having Shaw for 34 when they had Varane and Martinez fit. I think given what I've seen from De Gea and Maguire recently, that feels less urgent. And I think given that I see Trent as having such a big ceiling, and given that I don't have unlimited transfers, I don't think it's likely that I'll have Shaw. And I think that's probably another exposure, because I think there is probably a bit of latent EO there.
Yeah,
and I think he's probably someone that, if you can't get to Trent easily, he's quite a nice person to say to yourself, oh, well, I can get that guy because he's that much cheaper. I don't think I'll have Shaw. Do you think you'll have Man United events?
I don't know. So Shaw's at 14% at the moment. And I think a lot of it, oddly, will depend on if United keep a clean sheet in the next game. I know that sounds really stupid, but if they do manage to keep a clean sheet against Tottenham, then maybe we'll be thinking, oh, you know, I will punt it for Villa away in Brighton. Villa at home and Brighton away. I just don't see it really. I did mention that De Gea and Shaw are kind of in the mix as potential buyers, and like Rashford's definitely coming back in just for obvious reasons. But other than that, I just don't know whether I'm going to be overextending into United. I'm probably going to keep Saka, so I probably won't buy Bruno. I don't know. It's not the best double either. Villa and Brighton. I know that start of the season we'd be saying, oh, that's a really interesting double.
Yeah.
But now, especially with their defence being as it is, that's not a good double at all for United. So I don't know how much further I'm going to go with them, really.
The FA Cup semi is also now screwing me over. So March is back on the pitch, but Bruno Fernandes has now twisted his ankle. So this is going to be a great, great game, I can tell already.
It's just... roller coaster of emotions there. I don't really know kind of where I'm going to go with them, really, with United in general. I'm not a big fan of backing United anyway. Rashford probably is the only one that I'm going to be buying.
I think that's the one you have to cover if you're happy with where you are. I think he probably is going to have pretty high ownership, and if he looks anything close to what he looked earlier in the season, then I don't think you've got a lot of choice but to cover that one off.
Honestly, I think I'm going to end up maybe it kind of makes sense to sell Kepa for Edison for 34 and just kind of gamble that eventually those clean sheets are going to come through. I think it's like Fulham and West Ham, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, sure, especially Fulham, I'm sure there's one that's going to, at some point, he will keep clean sheets again. I do have Raya actually at home to Forest, but Brentford have obviously as well given up a little bit. And then I may end up just getting Duncan or Estu in really early for Brighton and just kind of thinking, yeah, well, I'm buying three extra games really by buying a Brighton player in here. And maybe that's kind of the way I go. You've got Matoma in March. Do you have the third one?
I've got Estupiñán, yeah.
Still got him hanging around. So maybe I'd go there because maybe that might be where the key sort of, I don't know, like it's weighing up effective ownership a lot, really. And again, kind of testament to how formulaic the game has become. Like all I'm doing is buying like, with Rashford and probably with buying a Dunk or an Estupiñán or something like that. All I'm doing is just plugging gaps rather than having a potential sort of differential.
It's just shield play, isn't it, all the way?
Oh, I know. The differentials for me would be Saka, who would be a differential by mistake, because other people were probably going to be selling to try to maneuver a way to get Salah in.
Yeah,
and Solanke. And then that's pretty much it. Like Matoma, McAllister, Haaland, Salah, Rashford, Trent, Trippier, and then a Brighton defender. Like that's 9 out of my 11. 8 or 9 out of my 11 who are all sort of just grey. It's very, this just making my team as vanilla as possible seems to be sort of the way to do it. Any interest in Newcastle? You mentioned that, you know, you could end up with Isak potentially. Obviously, you've just blown Spurs away 6-1. My mum was over visiting my daughter for the first time earlier, so I didn't watch the game, but I just had the sofa score on my phone. I just kept hearing. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I was just wondering what's going on. Wow, they're literally all on the floor in this FA Cup game. Rashford's on the floor now.
Oh, God.
Bruno's on the floor a minute ago.
All of this idea of having all of these United and Brighton players isn't so good now, is it?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I don't own them anyway, so
it's all right for you. Yeah,
very, very happy if this happens. But yeah, an interest in Newcastle. I've still got Trippier and Botman. I may add Isak at some point, but it's just one of those, isn't it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've now seen that Carl Anker is saying that Bruno Fernandes is moving gingerly and it's a bit. Is warming up. He's not sure if the United matchday captain will last the first half. That would make my move to Salah though a lot easier. So, you know, every cloud.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, you know, that might be, I know it's potentially a bit galaxy brain, but it might be one that you just do this week and hide it. Like, but I don't fancy Bruno away against Tottenham. Or if he's injured, like he's injured now, right? So, yeah, I didn't like the way he was walking. Oh, he got subbed early. Well, he's definitely out. And there's a game in 2 days. He's never going to recover from that. Usual sort of tropes like that. And yeah, I remember, I think it was FPO Incognito asked Kane to Isak this week to get Salah in. That's kind of why I was thinking about Newcastle being a way, like a player that you can buy players from, which you can buy in to make things work.
I think that is worth bearing in mind that you probably don't want to become too obsessive about 34, given that we know that there are double game weeks in 36 and 37. It might be that you don't necessarily get all the players you want for 34, but you prep yourself better for those double game weeks. I think there's probably a decent argument there, given that we don't have a huge turnaround between them.
Yep. General Zod on Newcastle. Do they rest their entire first team now via Everton? He's an Everton fan on Thursday. Now they swat aside their only serious challenge for the top four. I doubt it, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we did see a few of the lesser seen individuals show up against Everton, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really struggling with who, given that we're talking about a very defensive game where you feel like you're shielding a lot of the time, I'm really struggling with working out who you shield and how you shield. I think what's different between 29 and 34 is obviously 29, you were working for a squad of 15. And having to be quite tactical about all areas, whereas obviously you don't have a bench boost now, so you're looking at optimising an 11. And it may be that you have to just sort of let your bench die a bit. I think we've got into that situation after 29 where we had a lot of value tied up on our benches, which is perfectly natural when you want to get your bench boost out.
Yeah.
But I think we probably have to start reviewing whether those positions are worth preserving or whether you use them as basically cash cows. Because if you don't have good team value like I don't, it's not necessarily an efficient use of your budget to be, you know, sitting around with fairly expensive players on the bench.
Yeah, and especially if you, you know, if any of these injuries do come to fruition that we've mentioned. So three midfielders that are fairly highly owned, March, Bruno and Rashford, all potentially kind of limping at the moment by the sounds of it. Like if any of those do become injured, like doing a compound move this week to sit as a lot of 34 makes a lot of sense. Like I wouldn't be surprised if this week goes from a mass roll to people kind of taking a mass minus four. And if it does go that way, so people will say, well, Bruno, yeah, he got subbed off early. Fine, you know, I prefer Salah anyway for the rest of the season. I'm just going to do that move. Then suddenly it becomes a good week to make that move, doesn't it? So, you know, I think these things could very quickly turn the dime with these sorts of games that are going on in the background. Do we have any more questions this week? Let me just have a look. I don't think there are too many because I kind of sprung it on people very quickly. Can we create a Mulligan's chip, says Andrew Callanan. He said he benched Johnston, Shah and Gahey on his free hit. Ouch. That's all you can say there. And Momo the Goon asked, what would your teams look like if you were on wildcards this week? I guess it would, yeah. Just
I guess it's just sorting out yourself for 34. So basically just covering off those teams we've discussed and doing so in a way that you can avoid all these immense injuries that are happening in this game, which I keep wincing at. Why did we record during that? That was a good idea. I think, yeah, just set yourself up as well as you can for 34 and be mindful of 37 and 36 as you go. Is there any other?
That's it, really. And the beauty of it is that most teams who are 34 heavy or friendly are also 36 and 37 friendly. So it's very easy. Yeah, the only thing I would probably question a tiny bit is killing your bench off completely. I probably would have one or two bench players, especially of the quick turnaround. I know you didn't mean that, but something worth noting because we are about to enter kind of a Christmas style period because they're kind of getting all the games in at the moment, especially with the Queen's death and all that game week being rearranged. Like between 33 and 35, I suspect we're going to see one or two shock rotators every week, aren't we?
Yes.
And it will be a case there. You know, your Andreas or your Rico Henrys or the kind of guys who've been clashing around on your bench for a while do kind of make an appearance. And so, yeah, just something to bear in mind, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you don't want to kill them in the sense that you've got unplayable players. I think probably what I was trying to say and didn't say very well was that you might want to look at that Andreas is a great example because he's cheap, but he will play, he'll have a double or, you know, there are plenty of decent players under 4.5 million or around 4.5 million that will cover you fairly well without becoming kind of a big distraction. I think probably quite a lot of us have got a lot on our bench at the moment, which might not be that beneficial.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, like someone like Watkins, so he's got Fulham this week, and after that, the fixtures read United, Wolves, Spurs, Liverpool, and Brighton. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like him, for example, is a natural fall guy for most people. Just because the fixtures aren't great, even though he's in form, even though he didn't score this week, I don't think it would take much for people to start to kind of look at him and be like, well, if I take him down to I don't know if Evan Ferguson's fit, but a player in that sort of five, Solanke and below, I don't think it would take much for that sort of movement to occur. And then you kind of see that sort of thing occurring. Yeah. Cool. All right. So yeah, a bit of a whistle stop tour of everything that's going on over the next few weeks. I said, I'll be back on Thursday to just kind of look over 35, over 33 and just kind of discuss what I'm thinking ahead of 34. Transfers and captains this week, we obviously don't know at the moment. Depends on how injured all of these players are. I'm hoping they're all out for a long time just to give everyone something to think about. I'm kidding. And Haaland versus Arsenal seems just obvious captain, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I won't bother with anything else. I think you know, I can understand if you're chasing, you don't bother because it's a title challenge match and it might not be amazing, but
going to be open that game, isn't it?
I can't see anything but an open game. I'm glad you thought the same thing because I think there is a lot of temptation in those sort of games to think it'll be cagey because no one wants to kind of siege too much to the opposition, but I feel like it's going to be open and I think Haaland's the guy to have.
I'm wearing my Haaland and Saka double up with pride for that game. I think it something like a 3-1 or a 3-2 feels about right. To City, obviously. I think we lost.
You're not holding any hope there, then?
No, we lost the title a few weeks back. Probably, I think the Liverpool game probably is where you kind of. I think Saliba getting injured. That's been in the coffin.
Yeah.
That's where it's been. I think it's fairly obvious that a centre back to come in that isn't Rob Holding is quite a clear buy, and upgrading that Xhaka role. Vieira was really not good against you guys, and Xhaka's kind of not entirely the right fit for the role that he's playing. So those two positions, if we get them shored up, we're going to be competing next year. I don't think, you know, this was probably our chance to win it.
But I agree with that. Cool. We Declan Rice.
Probably. I'm not going to say no to that. I know there's obviously this kind of people saying, oh, they don't rate him, think he's because he's English, he's going to come with an inflated price tag. But I think he's, I really struggle to kind of go along with that. Really.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's also great from like a mentality and leadership perspective, which is perhaps something Arsenal need given how many young players you've got.
That's a very good point. Cool. Right. That's your lot. And I said I'll be back in a week or two, and Lucy will be back in what seems like 2 calendar weeks, but 3 game weeks to just see how we're getting on.
Fingers crossed. Thanks for listening. We were Who Got the Assist. You can find Tom on Twitter at WGT_FPL, and you can find me at Lucy Hynett. If you enjoyed listening to this, please like and subscribe to the podcast. For new listeners out there, if you think you'll be coming back, please hit that 5-star rating across platforms like iTunes and Spotify so more people can enjoy the pod.
Yep, that's it. So we'll be back at the end of the game week 35, I think it is. I'll be doing a couple of monologues this Thursday and next Thursday. I think we're probably going to be doing the Tuesday night, actually, because you play Southampton play late on the Monday night because it's a bank holiday for the coronation then. So we'll try to kind of we might do it on the Tuesday unless you really don't give a, I'm not sure I do. Okay, all right. But then we'll figure
that's an
it
awful
out.
Thing to say, isn't it?
No, I know. I think the start of the pod was sort of all full of horrible things. But hey, there we go. Sorry about not doing full pods, but hey, new baby. It doesn't make it viable anymore. Anyway, I hope it's just you. Speak to you very soon. Have a good week.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.